This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Ron Syrick is the executive editor at Golf World Magazine. You can read his work there or online at golfdigest.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Ron Syrick. It's always nice to have Ron back on the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, Ron.
Hello, John. How you doing?
I'm great. Well, before we get into NB's accomplishments, you got to tell me about the venue. I thought it looked great on television.
Yeah, it's a spectacular piece of property, and just look where it's sitting. It's sitting right between Shinnecock and National Golf Links of America. You couldn't have a better spot. And the USGA did a great job to set it up. They gave them generous fairways to aim at because the wind was always coming in off Great Peconic Bay. The greens are very, very challenging. Many multi-tiered greens, as Jack Nicklaus likes to do. But I thought the venue was visually stunning and really challenging when you look at it. Three players ended up under par.
Having just gone through what we went through at Marion, could they do a men's open there?
No.
Okay.
I don't think they could. But the reasons would be more infrastructure reasons than that. I mean, because this course can be taken back to about 75 and change yardage. But it's a question of getting people in and out. It's a question of housing people. I mean, even for a women's open, the hotel that I was in was a 40-minute shuttle ride from the golf course with no traffic, and there were days when it was over an hour. So I think the logistics would be difficult.
Okay. Let's talk about...
Shinnecock is closer to the train station, and that helps it a lot.
Okay. Let's talk about NB. What's been the thing? Is there one singular thing that's taken her to this new and higher level?
Well, I think if you were going to point to one singular thing, it would be the fact that her fiancé, who has become... who is a former Korean PGA Tour player, and Ji Hyeop Nam's his name, and beginning about the middle of 2011, he became her swing coach also, and he's been traveling with her ever since then. And anybody that you talk to who knows NB well, and I talked to her caddy, I talked to Siri Park, I talked to Naya and Troy, they all know her well, and they say that since he's been traveling with her, she's just really at peace and relaxed, and she's always been a great putter, always been a great putter. I think that she's becoming, every time I've seen her, a better ball striker, and that should be scary for the other LPGA players out there because her ball striking getting better and better. But I think that the fact that her feet are on the ground in her personal life has really helped her game.
You know, you mentioned her putting. I don't know that I've seen a golf tournament where it looked like one player was putting on totally different greens than the rest of the field. She looked so comfortable on those greens.
You know, that's why you got to look ahead to the Women's British Open at St. Andrews and think that not only is Indy going in there off three straight wins in the majors, but the way she putts and those giant, many of them double greens at St. Andrews, you got to sort of think, gee, that might be a pretty good place for her. It just, you know, and it's a precision golf course. You don't have to be really long, and she's on the shortage side. She only hits it about 245, 246 in there. I would think her putter is going to serve her really well at St. Andrews.
We are talking with the executive editor at Golf World Magazine, Golf Channel contributor Ron Syrick here on the Augusta Golf Show. Talking about St. Andrews, how good will it be for the game to have all of that attention focused on St. Andrews and that tournament, and how tough will it be for her?
Well, I wrote in Golf World magazine this week that this is probably the single biggest moment for women's golf since Annika Sörenstam played the men's event at Colonial 10 years ago in terms of attention coming to the game. What's going to be interesting is Indy's been doing everything that she's been doing, flying under the radar screen without very much public attention. And that said, I thought going the final round at Sabonic was probably the greatest pressure that she's ever played under, and she held up. She did well there. So it's going to be interesting to see how she handles the run-up. We're going to have 3 weeks running up, actually 4 weeks, I guess, now running up till we get to St. Andrews. She's going to get, there's going to be media who's going to show up. And I already heard today my good friend Doug Ferguson, the main golf writer for the Associated Press, was not going to cover the Women's British Open. He's going to cover it now. I have to think there's a lot of other people who are going to be in that situation. She's going to get an attention like she's never had in her life. That'll be fascinating to see how she handles it.
You know, I got to ask some of these silly questions, and I do find them somewhat silly. If she wins the Women's British, has she won the Slam? Does she need to win all five? What happens if she wins at St. or doesn't win at St. Andrews and wins at Evian?
Yeah, well, you know, technically she's got to win all the majors for it to be a slam, because if the word Grand Slam comes from bridge, and it means taking all the tricks available to you. So she would have to take all the tricks available to all five to have a Grand Slam. But, you know, I don't care what you call it, it's still a remarkable achievement. What she's done already is a remarkable achievement. She's won three majors in a row. And that just doesn't happen all that often. Babe Zaharias did it. Tiger Woods did it. And Mickey Wright won three in a season. Pat Bradley won three in a season. But what I've been saying, and I've been tweeting this and getting into some minor Twitter scuffles with people, she's trying to do something that no man or no woman has ever done: win four professional major championships in a single season. It's never been done, met by male or female. So I don't care what you call it. It's going to be a heck of an accomplishment.
Well, you know, that was going to be my next question, Ron. Shouldn't we just sit back and enjoy what we're seeing and stop kind of picking apart whether or not she needs to win four or five? And to your point, this is one heck of an accomplishment so far.
Yeah, you know, and you look at them, two of these majors she won, the Kraft Nabisco Championship and the U.S. Women's Open, she won by four strokes each. And then she gutted it out in a playoff in the LPGA Championship in between, when she was, it looked to me like, you know, leaking oil pretty significantly down the stretch, had to go to a playoff against Katrina Matthews, but beat her in the playoff. So she's won two tournaments pretty convincingly, and another one that she gutted out. And that's really, I mean, you know, that's what you need. Look at Rory McIlroy. His two majors, he won by eight strokes each. He's proven to us he can win in a runaway. What he hasn't proven to us is that he's got the toughness to win a close match. She's shown she can do both.
You were talking about her accomplishments, Ron. You were around, we were around for Tiger's accomplishments in 2000, 2001, 2002. He had his competitors kind of shaking their head at what he was doing. Is she getting to that level? Are the other players beginning to kind of shake their head?
She's getting there in a different sort of way. You know, Tiger just overwhelmed the field. I mean, in 2000, which is as good as it gets, he won the U.S. Open by 15, the British Open by 8. You know, that's just overwhelming. Indy is doing it more in an Annika Sorenstam sort of way, which is she doesn't overwhelm you with distance or working the ball or ball striking. She just keeps the ball in play, gets it in the hole, and wears you out because she makes very few mistakes. If you look at Sabonic, her worst score was a bogey. You know, she did not put any big numbers up there, and that's her strength. If she gets into trouble, she's got the discipline to just pitch back to the fairway, hit it on the green, maybe make my one putt par. If I don't, I make my two putt bogey, go on to the next hole. She's playing, and I'll use the same word to describe Indy that I used to describe Annika when Annika was at the peak of her game, and that's balance. Physically and emotionally, she is rarely out of balance.
Let me shift gears on you in the last minute or so that we have. I need to get your thoughts regarding the announcement earlier this week. The PGA Tour is going to adhere to the anchored stroke ban. I don't think this came as a surprise to anybody. Did you ever at any point see them going a different way?
No. I thought from the beginning, I thought when Commissioner Fincham opposed it, he was setting the stage. So at the policy board meeting, after the USGA finally did announce that they were going to institute it permanently. I think that Fincham wanted to be able to go to his players and said, hey, I did what I could. I fought the good battle for you. But here's the key point. We don't want to get in the business of making rules. It's a hornet's nest. Let's let the USGA handle that. We're going to stand on the sidelines. We don't want to be involved in lawsuits. We don't want to be involved in anything. We're going to let the USGA make the rules. I thought the PGA of America and the PGA Tour would fall in line behind the USGA, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, it had to be a lot of fun last week being there to watch all of that happen. It's got to be great fun to head for St. Andrews. Ron, thanks for taking the time to do this. I always appreciate it.
I have to say, I got goosebumps after she won when I realized I'm going to St. Andrews, the home of golf, with a chance to see history. That's pretty exciting.
I envy that. Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, John. My pleasure.